Amen. Love the Lord today. You'll have to bear with me as I got a little frog in my throat today, scratchy voice, and so we're fighting a little bit with the cold kicking in here. So bear with me. I pray that the Lord would use me for His glory today and that His word would go forth. I encourage you to listen to God's word today as it is spoken and as the Holy Spirit applies it in your heart and your life. Allow Him to mold you. You know, there's different kinds of clay. There's the clay that has been kept at the right temperature and the right setting to where when you take it, you can mold it into exactly what you want it to be. You can shape it. It's not so mushy that it falls apart, but it's mushy enough to where you can make it into what you want it to be. And then there's that which has been set out in the air for too long, and you come around and you can't move it. It is hard, it is brittle, it is breakable. And sometimes I see that so much as an analogy of my life and my relationship with God. I am God's. I am kept by the power of His hands. But sometimes I am that broken, brittle clay that is unmoldable. And God desires us to be moldable today. And so I pray that God would prepare our hearts and minds to be the clay in His hands and that He would shape us into the servants of the Lord that He desires us to be today. I want to read a passage today from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Actually, we're going to begin in the 11th chapter of Genesis and read down through some of the 12th. So turn to Genesis chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in the 26th verse. The 26th verse of Genesis chapter 11, and we'll end in the 9th verse of the 12th chapter of Genesis. We're going to talk about Abram today and his call from God. If I had to title my message, it would be The Call of God. And today, especially in missionary Baptist churches, sometimes we feel like God calling someone is only talking about the call to the ministry. And so I don't want you to make that assumption today, because I believe that God calls all of His children to His purposes and His plans for their lives, and that the ministry is not the only call. Yes, that is a very specific call that God gives to some to deliver His word, to preach His word. But God calls all of His children to the labor of the Lord, and He calls you to very specific things sometimes that He desires from your life. And I want you to consider what it is that God is calling you to do today, not merely in this service, but in your life in general. Sometimes we get so busy and our lives get so hectic and we're making decisions and we're doing things based off what we think is best, and yet we've never paused to say, God, what is it that You want from my life? God, what is it that You are pushing me in or calling me to? And Lord, give me the faith and the strength to follow You in that. And today I want to look at the call of Abram. And in that, I want you to ask yourselves, what is it that God is calling you to do today and in your life? We're going to begin again in the 26th chapter of the 11th chapter of Genesis, where we read about the genealogy of Abram's family. We could actually go back farther and read through further generations, but we're just going to start here because I want you to see who his father is, and then we'll pick up on God's call to his life. So in verse 26, and it says, "And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran." Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was there in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. And we will stop our reading there. And I'd like to have a prayer if you would. Gracious God, Holy Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here in this place. Thankful for those that have lost their lives through the centuries, that we might have the freedom that we have this morning, dear God, to be able to proclaim your word, to serve you with a conscience and with a free heart, Lord, without fear of persecution or imprisonment. And I'm thankful for that today, and I pray that we wouldn't take it for granted. I'm thankful for your word today, dear God. Thankful for this account that you've given us of Abram's life. I pray that we would learn from it today, that you'd shape our minds and hearts. And I pray that as God's children today, that we would go forth with an extra zeal and excitement to find our place and calling in your work and to give our lives to it wholeheartedly. Lord, we can't do that without your strength, without your guidance, and without your Holy Spirit to apply these things in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we ask and plead these things. Amen. Amen. The calling of God, calling of God. And we're going to look at a few things. The first thing I want you to consider is Abram's background. Now, again, maybe you might be fairly new to studying the scripture, and you may not know this person who we're talking about, Abram. Later on in his life, God changes his name to Abraham. So some of you may be more familiar with him being called that, but he was actually first Abram until God changed his name to Abraham. And so we're talking about the same person. The person that God would call to be the father of many nations. He would be the forefather, the forerunner of the Jewish people. And today, if you talk to any secular Jew, they would tell you that their people started with Abraham here when God called him. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that he is also the father of all those that have come to faith in Christ. And put their trust in Jesus Christ, that our forefather is Abraham. We are the sons of Abraham. The New Testament tells us that if we've been saved by his grace. I would go as far to say that those who of us that have been saved by God's grace have a closer kindred and relation to Abram than those that are even secular Jews today. And so sometimes you'll hear people talk about being spiritual Jews. And we say that because it's biblical, that we've been brought into the family of God, saved by his grace, and those that have had that salvation experience with God, the Bible teaches us that Abraham is our father. Father Abraham had many sons. You've probably sung the song or heard the song in Sunday school. One of my favorites growing up. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Yes, so this is the Abraham that we're talking about today. One thing I want you to notice, and you're going to have to do some self-study on this because there's not a whole lot of information here, and I'm not going to spend the majority of our time talking about it, but I read the genealogy here to talk about Abram's father, Terah. They're from the Ur of the Chaldees, and that is a polytheistic nation in that they did not worship the one true God of Israel, the God of Scripture. They worshiped many gods. They worship the god of the moon and the god of the sun and the god of water and all of these different pagan deities that they would set up. Their nation, Ur of the Chaldees, was a polytheistic nation. And Terah very likely was a pagan worshiper. His name hints the fact that he worshiped the moon god. And again, I'm going to have you to study some of these things out on your own, but what I want you to see is that Abram, the man that God would call to be the father of many nations, that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed through his name because Jesus would come forth from his lineage one day, this man came from a background that might be a little unexpected, right? From a humanly perspective, we try to find the person that has the perfect background and fits the perfect mold, but this man came out of a background of pagan idol worship, and yet God delivered him from that and called him to lead a great people, his people. And I want to encourage you today, I don't know what your background is, but I want you to know that God does not need you to have a specific background to be used in his work. Okay, so some of us have been raised in church. I'm thankful and I praise God for the blessing of having parents that raised me to know the truth and they taught me the scripture and they raised me in church. And I praise God for that. And I pray that God would help me to use that blessing and privilege of life to further pursue his plans for my life and to further tell people about the gospel. But the reality is you don't have to have my upbringing to be a servant of God, right? We can be anywhere anywhere on that spectrum. Your father may have not worshiped God, or they may have had instances in their lives where they were following the lusts of their flesh and they were falling into the sins of this world. But listen, what your father or mother or what the generations did before you does not have to dictate the path of your life. Does not. God calls people out of all kinds of situations, and he puts them on the path that he desires them to be. And God reached into Abram's life and he chose a man and he called a man out of a background of paganism to be the father of Israel. And it's really quite amazing to think about God. We don't always understand why he does the things that he does or the purposes of all of his divine plan, but God has a plan. And God can call anyone from any place. And I want to encourage you today to not be a victim to a generational sinfulness, right? All of us are influenced by those that have come before us. And all of that is very strong. The nurture that we get and the things that we are taught and the background in which we see. It is difficult, don't get me wrong, to break the mold of what you have seen your whole life. But it is not impossible. And with God's hand and with God's help, God can use you in great ways. And the decisions that you make and the life that God gives you can make positive influences for the Lord and for future generations to come. I bet all of us could probably look back at a time and a place where somebody along the line of our family that did not serve God was touched by the Lord and called by God out of his circumstances, and that has made an impact on your life down the road. I am thankful today to have that upbringing that I told you about, but my father did not have that upbringing. He had a good mother and father that loved him and provided for him, but they did not provide for him the most necessary things of spiritual teachings, of the things of God and of the way of Jesus Christ. And yet, I'm thankful that in a little house in Milford, Illinois, that there was a faithful man of God that was willing to stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when people probably thought he was foolish for being in that little house with that little group of people, praise be to God, my pothead father walked into the door that day and he met God, and that made an impact in his life, obviously, but it made an impact on mine and for generations to come. And now I look at my children and I try to teach them about Jesus Christ, and I try to point them towards the cross, and I pray that they're saved the day they reach the accountability with God. But I know that God started to work in my children before I was even in existence. God calls people out of all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of places. And I tell you what, in the Church of the True and Living God, we need people that have been called from all over the place, right? We want people with a diversity of backgrounds. And I'm thankful today for a God that does that. And I don't want you to make your excuse before God and why you can't serve him or why you can't come to him today because of something that has come before you. Abram came out of a pagan background and God called him from it. And he used him, and he said every nation of the earth would be blessed through him and he would make him a great nation. And today, Thousands of years after God had made Abram that promise, we are standing here in Columbus, Indiana, talking about Abram and his faithfulness and obedience to God. God kept his promise to Abram, and though Abram may have never even seen it come to fulfillment, you don't become a great nation overnight. And while Abram left this world, God fulfilled his promise to Abram. And praise be unto God that he did. So Abram, what a pagan background, and yet the Lord called him. Secondly, I want to look at God's call today. God's call. At the beginning of chapter 12, we see God's call to Abram. He says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So the first thing I want you to see about this call is that it was a call to leave, right? Pretty straightforward. He called Abram to leave. And he told him very specifically to leave his country, to leave his kindred, his family, to leave his father's house. Okay, he was very specific on those things. It was a call to leave. Now, that list of stuff, when you read it, you think, that is all the stuff that gives safety and security in life, right? The place you know, the people, that the nation that you're brought up in, the kindred, your family, and from your father's house, right? You had to. He was calling him to leave all of the things that bring, you know, the idea of safety and security in his life, that bring comforts of this world, and he called him to leave those things. That's a difficult call, isn't it? Listen, and again, I don't know if God is calling any of you to leave your country or to leave out of this place. I'm not going to tell you what God is calling you to do, but oftentimes God calls us to leave those things that we think are bringing security and safety to our lives. And God was showing Abraham that ultimate security and safety comes in being obedient and trusting in the will of God, putting our lives in his hands and allowing him to use us. And today, whatever God is calling you to do or to step away from, I want you to know that you can trust him today. You can trust him. And sometimes we say no because what we know behind us is all that we have ever known. And what is before us is a complete mystery. And yet we have to trust God that he sees our tomorrows, and we need to put our trust in his hands, our life in his hands, and let him use us as he would see fit. It was a call to leave. Oh, everything that was secure to him. Listen, I wish I knew all that God was speaking to your heart and your life or all the circumstances. I do not know what it is. But listen, when God calls, it will always cause us to leave something, right? Leave something. We are never left unchanged. And so today, whatever God is calling you to do, I want you to trust him today. I want you to put your trust in him, fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ, knowing that God is sovereign, that he's all-knowing, that he knows what is tomorrow, knowing that he works all things together for good that to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. God has made that promise, and while we may not know what is on the other side, we can trust that God is working it for good. And sometimes we got to step away from whatever it is that might be providing the security that we think when it's actually not doing that at all. So it was a call to leave, it was a call to trust, and we've already talked about this a little bit, but he was very specific on what he had to leave, and then he was very not specific on what he was going to, right? He said, okay, leave your kindred, leave your country, leave your father's house, okay, check, that's all very specific, and he says, and then I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Whoa, right? If it wasn't hard enough before, leaving all those things that we know and that give us safety and security, now he's calling us to go to somewhere where he's not even disclosing where it is that you're going, right? So it was a call to trust, right? Faith, that is faith. I hope that you see that today, right? Faith is trusting in that which you can't see it, but you know that God is controlling it and calling you to it. And even though he didn't know where he was going, he was willing to leave what he knew to go to something that he had no idea what it would be, because God called him to do it. And isn't that the excuse we have sometimes when God says, I need you to step away from the situation of your life? And you're like, well, God, that's all I ever know. That situation is what I know. It might not even be a good situation, but it gives me some sort of comfort because it's what I know. It's what I'm comfortable with. It's where I'm there. And you want me to go to do something that I've never done, never experienced. It's something that scares me and brings fear because it is unknown. And God says, go. Listen, I know by experience when you say no to God and you stay in where you're comfortable, that will not be a pleasant experience. But when you trust God, even when you don't know what he's calling you to do, trust me, there is communion with God. There is blessing and obedience. And I'm not telling you there won't be troubles. When Abraham went, it says that the Canaanite was there. There was an enemy in the land that God was calling him to be, and even he didn't know it. So it won't always be easy. There will be difficulty ahead in the path of God. But if it's God's path for you, I can promise you this, that he will be with you. His grace is sufficient to sustain you in all things, and it will be a blessing to be in the center of God's will, to trust him. Thirdly, it was a call to leave, it was a call to trust, and it was also a call to discover, right? So he had to trust God because he didn't know where God was calling him to be. He had to leave what he was known, what he knew, and what was comfortable to him. In verse 2, he says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." What, didn't it say he was 75 years old when this was going on? And you remember in the genealogy that I read that his wife Sarai was barren? It means she couldn't have children. And here God's saying, I want you to leave all that. I want you to go somewhere where I don't know, and I will make a great nation out of thee. God, my wife can't have children, right? I am an older man. My wife is barren. What are you talking about? I mean, let's be real here. This seems unbelievable that God was going to make a great nation out of him, but it was a promise from God. And when God makes a promise to your life, you can take it to the bank. God means what he says, and he fulfills the promises that he makes. And he told Abraham that he would make a great nation out of him and that all the families of the earth would be blessed through his name. Listen, we talked about this a little bit before. Abram didn't see the fulfillment of all these things. Now, he'll see that he'll be able to, his wife will be able to bear him a son, and God will bless in that way in a very miraculous way. But he doesn't get to see the fulfillment of being made a great nation through his blood. He will never be able to see the day that Jesus is born into this world, that the Messiah comes and stands and is slain for our sins. But listen, he trusted, and he had to trust God in those things. But like I said, it was a call to discover the place where he was going, right? To discover the place where he was going, to discover the purpose that God had for his life, to discover the pleasure of God when you're obedient to his calling in your life. And I can't help but today to think that God may be calling someone here today to discover the place that God wants you to be. Again, I'm not saying that place has to be another state, another city, another anything. But he may be calling you to a different place in your life, a different thing that he has for you to do. He's calling you to discover the place that he has for you. And listen, the place where God wants you to be is the only place that you will find full contentment. Okay? I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. I'm not going to tell you that by trusting God, you're going to have riches and that you're going to have perfect health and you're going to have a prosperity beyond belief. But I can promise you that you will never be content outside of the will of God if you're his child. And there is a contentment and a fulfillment, even though it might be difficult, but when you're in the purpose and the plan for God that God has for your life, there is a fulfillment in it, and God is calling us to it. So he was to discover the place where God would bring him. He was going to discover the purpose that God had for him. And he was going to discover the pleasure of God that rests upon a child of God that is obedient to him. There is nothing more that I want in my life than that. To know God's purpose for me and to live in that purpose. To know that God has pleasure in my service because I am serving him as he has called me to serve him. And whatever that place may be, and whatever it may look like, even though Abram didn't even know what that place would be, he would come to discover it. Whatever that place is, if it's the place where God has planted you and the place that God wants you to be, that is where you find his pleasure. And I encourage you today to find that place. So he called him to leave, he called him to trust him, and he called him to a discovery of all that God was going to work through his life. Listen, young people, if you consider yourself young today, I know you don't have all the answers and you don't see the future, but I want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He does, whether you see it or not. And I want to encourage you today to put your trust in Him, to seek guidance for your life as to what He would want you to do and the way that He wants you to go, and just place yourself in the center of His will. And there is no place like the place that God has for you. I pray that you would learn that, that you would trust Him today. Excuse me. Thirdly, I want you to see His obedience. It's my three favorite words in this little passage here. I think I've read this before and shared that with you. But God calls him to leave what he knows, to go to what is unknown, to what is safe and secure, to what is probably scary and unsure. He promises him these great promises that he would come to discover that God was going to bless him. And then verse 4 says, "So Abram departed." I cannot emphasize how profound that is. So he went. God said go, and Abram went. It seems so simple today, but we know by experience that it's hard to go, right? And I'm sure there's a whole lot of context here that God hasn't given. I don't know all that went through Abram's head or what was going on around his circumstances, and I won't try to make conjecture on it. But I know that God called him to leave what was bringing him safety and security in his life and head out to the unknown. And he said, okay, I'll go. May God give us the faith of a child. I've said this analogy probably 500 times here, so I'm sorry to just bear your patience with it. But it seems so fitting. I remember, again, my daughter. We were at my wife's parents' house, and my wife's mother, they call her Mimi. You met her at the women's conference, but she was leaving. She was walking out the door, and I remember Kanan running to her and saying, Mimi, I want to go. And she took her hand, and they began to walk, and I watched them as they walked, and they were quite a ways out, and I heard my daughter look up at her grandmother and say, "Where are we going?" And I said, "Lord, give me that type of faith that I just want to take your hand and go wherever it is that you're going and not even maybe knowing where it may be. But I know it's okay because I'm with you and that you're going there," right? Kanan had no fear in her heart. She was excited. There was an excitement in her heart, even though she had no idea what they were doing or no idea where they were going. She was with her Mimi, and that's where she wanted to be. And where she went, she was going with her. God, give us that heart as your children. Let us take your hand in our hand and say, "God, wherever it is that you go, wherever it is that you lead, wherever it is that you call, I'm going with you. And I don't care where it is, and I don't have to know all the answers, and I don't have to see it all as you see it, but I trust that you're working all things together for good. And where you go, I will go with you." So Abram departed. Lord, help us to do those things. Now listen, as much as that blesses me to see Abram's faith, I don't always relate like that as much as I relate to other men that God has called and some of the things that were recorded. So in contrast to that, let's think about Moses and let's think about Gideon. We could go on from that, but remember when Gideon was called to lead the armies of God, he said, I think I marked it. Let me just read it. In Judges chapter 6, it says, chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said," this is God talking to Gideon, he says, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" So he says, "Gideon, get up, you're going to lead the people of Israel, and you're going to win victory over the Midianites," right? "And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." And this was his response. And I can relate to this response in my own experience. "And he said unto him," this is now Gideon talking, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" Or how in the world am I going to do this, right? You're calling me to lead Israel to save this nation from the hand of our enemies? How in the world is this going to happen? Can you relate to that? Yeah, I can. "Behold, my family is poor." He says, "Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." Now, isn't that, I bet most of us have more experience like that, that when God calls or when God directs, we start, first of all, giving God excuses, right, as to why we are not the one that should be doing it. Someone else should do it. "I'm poor. I am the youngest in my family. I have the least strength and experience. So why in the world are you calling me? And God said to Gideon, he said, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Listen, I heard this quote once, and I use it often, but it said, one in God is a majority, right? Do you think God didn't know all those things about Midian before he told him? That he was poor in Manasseh, that he was the least of his family. He could have made a mile list of his weaknesses, and I believe that they were all true, but God knew him when he called him, right? God knows what he's doing. And he can make your weaknesses your strengths, and he can enable you in the areas that you think you're not capable in. By the grace of God, he can enable you to do that very thing. And when people see you accomplish that in your life, they look at you and they say, God was in that. To God be the glory. When he called Moses, we probably know it very well, when he called Moses to deliver the children of Israel, what did Moses say to him? And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He says, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Right? He wanted him to go to Pharaoh and to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. He wanted to approach him, and he says, listen, God, I'm not eloquent. I don't have the words to say. I'm slow of speech. I think he had some sort of speech impediment. He says, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He had a hard time speaking words. He was not eloquent, and God was calling him to go to the most powerful man in the then known world and to tell him that he had to let the people of God go. And Moses says, God, are you kidding me? I can't even talk. And I love what he says to him. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. You think God didn't know that Moses had a hard time speaking when he called him to go and to speak to Pharaoh? He knew. Who made man's mouth? Aren't you thankful sometimes when God, you know, it's hard to hear sometimes, but he gives us those little, those glimpses and reveals to our hearts who he is. Because sometimes we get too self-focused and not enough God-focused. God, I'm this, I'm slow of speech, I'm poor, I can't do this, I'm a woman, I'm young, I'm this, I'm that. All of these things, God knows exactly who you are. He knows the areas where you fall short and your weaknesses, and yet God wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use you to reach the people in your circle of influence with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knows everywhere you fall short, and yet he has made you, he has called you, and he will enable you by his grace. So in contrast, here we see Abram with a simple childhood faith. I pray that we would fall into that line. And instead of God giving God all the excuses as to why you can't do what he's calling you to do, just go, right? Knowing that God has you in his hands. He told both Gideon and he told Moses, surely I will be with you, right? Isn't that the main thing? Where I've called you to go, I will be with you. And listen, I don't know what it is that God is calling you today to do. I don't know what he's calling you to walk away from or walk to, but I know this, that if he's calling you to do it, that he will be with you every step of the way. And with one and God, that is a majority, and anything can be accomplished. So Abraham was obedient. Fourthly, I want you to see the priorities of his life. We read on, he departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. He didn't leave anything behind. This wasn't a round trip ticket. Right? This was one way. God said go. He packed up all that he had, and he went. Sometimes we start on the process, but we leave a lot behind as an excuse to go back, right? God wasn't calling him to go back. God was calling him to go forward. And he took all that he had, and he was obedient to God, and he went forward. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem and to the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. The Canaanite was the enemy of God's people. This path and journey that God had called Abram to was not going to be an easy one. And don't let these, don't let people and so-called Christians tell you that following God is just going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to be great. That's ridiculous. Okay? Often, if not always, the thing that God calls us to, it will be marked by struggle, and there will be hard things and trials. But listen, God is going to be with you. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And they're building an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So he did two things there, and I think it's telling of the priorities of Abram's life. He built an altar, and he pitched a tent. You see the difference? Pitching a tent is a very temporary thing, right? It's made, when you pitch a tent, it's made to come up, to serve a purpose, to be torn down, and to go on to the next thing. When you build something, you build it to last, right? Pitching a tent is temporary in nature. The word itself is just fast and fading and transient. Whereas building is talking about building it something that will last and that has staying power. So what did he build and what did he pitch? Well, he built an altar. He built on that which was the spiritual and eternal purposes of his life. And he pitched the place where he was going to lay his head down to rest, his dwelling place. He had a very loose grip on the temporary things of the world, and he had a very firm grip on the eternal purposes of God in his life. I don't know if there's any lesson more that stood out to me and struck me more than that. When the Lord showed me that, and he said, Jonathan, I want you to have a firm grasp on those spiritual, eternal, important things that I have called you to do. And I want you to have a loose grip on this world. There are things that we need. He needed a place to sleep. He needed a place to lay down. There are things in our lives that are temporary but necessary. I'm not saying that we, like monks, just take everything and get rid of everything and go live in a rock in a cave somewhere. That's not what God is calling us to do. But he's saying in this world we need to have a loose grip on those things that are transient, that are ultimately not eternally important, and have a firm grip on that which is important and which God has called us to. And the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, most of the time in our lives we have it backwards. All of our time and our energy, all of our money and expenses in our life is poured into those things that have no eternal significance. And we build up possession, and we build up wealth, and we build up all of these things, and we have homes that we think have all of our security and safety in them, and we have all of this stuff that we think is the most important, and our life is firmly gripping onto it. And in those things that are eternal, those things that God has said are important, those things that God has called you to, we say, yeah, well, I'll throw that in if I get time on Sunday. Okay, I'll throw that in if I get a break from all of this stuff that I have to do. And if you're one of God's children today, this came as a challenge to me. I pray that it's a challenge to you. Let go of all of that stuff that's taking all of your energy and time. Let go, hold loosely to those things, and take firm grasp on what God is calling your life to, because he has a purpose and a place for you to go. And you may not know exactly where it is or where that you are going, but he is calling you to it, and hold fast to it. Build altars and pitch tents. Build altars and pitch tents. I want to challenge you today in closing to pray for guidance and direction in your life. You may be sitting under the sound of my voice saying, oh, I'm not Abram. I don't have to leave my home and my country and go to a place that I didn't know. Okay, I don't even know that. Maybe you do. I don't know. I'm not going to limit God. But I would assume that most of us don't have to make that kind of move, that kind of sacrifice. But I know that God has a purpose and a calling for your life, and that God calls into the life of his children and gives direction to their lives as to what he wants them to do and how he wants them to serve him. And if you're confused today and have no idea what it is that God is calling your life to, I challenge you today, God challenges you this morning to seek Him, to ask Him, right? It's funny how we spend so much time saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, and yet we've never got upon our knees and said, Lord, reveal to my heart and to my mind where it is that you want me to go and where you want me to be. God will show you. I'm not saying it may not be a struggle in prayer. God has purposes and plans and timing that are all His. But I can promise you, He can give you direction and He will call into your life. Man, woman, child, if you're the children of God today, He will give a calling to your life and a purpose to your existence. And listen, there is nothing, and I know I've said this, there is no other fulfillment or contentment in this world like that of knowing that you're in the center of God's will and you're fulfilling the purposes that He has for your life. Not at all. I'm going to challenge you to trust God because it's scary sometimes, right? To leave stuff. To leave what is safe and secure behind. And to go out to a place where you may not know all the answers of the things that you see. So I call you to trust. I call you to obey as simply as Abraham obeyed. So Abram went. Sometimes, most of the time, that's the biggest hurdle, right? Just getting to that step. Stop making the excuses and saying, telling God why all the reasons that you can't do it and why all the reasons that you're not the person for what God's calling you to do. And take His hand and say, Lord, where you are and where you lead, I will go. And lastly, let go of the transient, let go of the temporary. And let's start clinging to the eternal things, the things that are the most important. God bless you today. I'm thankful for your attentiveness to God's word. I'm thankful that God speaks to my heart. I hope you never see this as a one-way transaction where God's word is coming out from this pulpit into your hearts. Listen, it's not. God speaks to my heart from His word. That's why sometimes I can stand up here and say that was a good message. It has nothing to do with the messenger, I promise you. But the message that God is proclaiming in His word that I did not write and I did not speak, it is not mine, it is His, and it is good. And His truths and His promises are precious. And more to be desired are they than gold, than the honey and the honeycomb, the psalmist said. And I'm thankful for the way the Lord has spoke to my heart this morning. I pray that He has spoken to yours. I'll give you an opportunity if you have something on your heart today, song, testimony, praise, feel a need to be obedient to the Lord in prayer, anything at all, something on your heart this morning. If not, I want to call us to prayer. I'm going to call for an altar prayer this morning. Again, I've never force anyone to come up here. If you're not able or I don't feel that it's necessary, then you can stay exactly where you're at. But I'd like to pray with you today. And let's ask God to guide and direct our lives. And if you don't know the calling that God has for your life, then I want you to ask Him. And I pray that God would give you the faith and strength to trust Him when He calls. So let's come and let's pray. If you're willing, let's seek the Lord.